Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Well, it is customary to say something about the history of the Flower Communion or Flower Festival, but I want to give it a little different twist this year and remind ourselves that in spite of the, they've got that wonderful history of Norbert Chopik coming to the United States and meeting his third wife, Maya. The first two had died, leaving him with nine children. Both immigrants from the same part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which is what it was at the time. But meeting here and getting married, and Norbert, having been a Baptist minister who'd really been becoming disillusioned with Baptist theology, becoming Unitarians and returning to Prague after the First World War, where the newly created Czechoslovakia had been carved out of the old Austro-Hungarian Empire, and building up what became the biggest Unitarian church in the world in its time. But I'm thinking about the fact that, in a sense, they both came here as refugees. Maya, a teenager, came with her parents for reasons unclear, but felt it made sense to leave their homeland and come to the United States, where she was able to study at Columbia University, though apparently without getting a degree, and becoming a librarian in the foreign language division of the New York Public Library, because she read and spoke numerous languages. Her parents became naturalized citizens and lived out their lives here. And Norbert Chopik, who had come here because of his opposition to militarism in his homeland, had become the minister of a Baptist church in Newark, New Jersey, but became disillusioned with Baptist teachings and was under the influence of his good friend Tomas Masaryk, who had become the first president of the United Czechoslovakia, who lived in Brooklyn, where he was married to a Brooklyn Unitarian woman. And they hatched the scheme long before they could return to their homelands of bringing Unitarianism to what would become Czechoslovakia. But they had both, in some ways, come here as refugees. And they reached the point where they were ready to go back to the new Czechoslovakia and build a new life. After Norbert had left the Baptist ministry, he had, with perhaps dubious credentials, functioned as a psychologist, but also as a fairly successful journalist, writing for Czech language newspapers in the metropolitan New York area. We sometimes forget that there have been large waves of immigrants into this country. There have been communities formed where those languages were spoken. In fact, my father came here, there were Swedish newspapers because there's so many Swedes had come here. And when his first wife came here, there were many Norwegian newspapers because there's so many Norwegians had come here. Those are all gone now. But there are now a lot of Chinese and Korean newspapers now, and probably some others that I haven't seen. So they got married. He was much older than she, and they had nine children, six of them grown up, three of them living with them. They lived in Belleville. And then in preparation for returning to Czechoslovakia, sold the house in Belleville and moved to an apartment in East Orange and joined the Unitarian Church in Orange, whose minister helped them persuade Samuel Atkins Elliott, the president of the association, who kept blowing him and Masaryk off, that they really had to support this. And so when they went home to Prague, they had financial support from both the British and the American Unitarian Associations. And in an interesting aside, through all the years that Prague was under first Nazi and then communist rule, They never lost their building because there was a British mortgage on the building. And neither government would dare try to take it over. Whereas many other churches were dispossessed of their properties. So they went back, they started a Unitarian congregation in Prague, and over the first 2 years, gathered people together, got a building, spent every penny or pound the British and the Americans sent them, but soon had a growing congregation, and in 1923 celebrated the first flower festival or flower communion. Norbert Chopek was not inclined to call it a communion because he was trying to use language that didn't have traditional religious attachments to it. And then World War II broke out about 16 years after they'd returned. And Maya, with their son Lubor, went to the United States to raise money for war relief and to support the independence of Czechoslovakia. And it became impossible for her to return as planned a year later. So she spent the entire Second World War with her son in the United States. And her son enlisted in the army and served in combat during the Second World War. But he was born here. He was a citizen. His mom was still not a citizen. But she started the naturalization process in 1941. And then in 1944, still not knowing her husband's fate, though she knew she had not heard from him for years, in 1942 he had been executed in Dachau. In 1944, she went to work for the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Agency. But in the meantime, not only had she started the naturalization process, not only had her only child joined the U.S. Army and gone to war, but she introduced the flower communion at the first parish in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1942. She spoke on Czechoslovak culture. She spoke on the political issues in Europe during the war, though carefully so as not to put her family at home in danger. In reading the archives, I found a note that was handed to every journalist attending to one of her events to keep in mind what effects what they wrote might have on the people under occupation in Europe. She was offered Unitarian Ministerial Fellowship in 1943, in spite of her not having a seminary degree, but she had been ordained by the Prague congregation, and indeed worked as a minister in New Bedford, Massachusetts for 3 years. See, the Unitarian Church in New Bedford had the big downtown first church, and they had a smaller chapel and settlement house in the northern end of the city in the immigrant community, where she worked did both social work and preached Unitarianism in several languages to the immigrants for 3 years. And the minister of that church heartily promoted the notion that she deserved to be in fellowship with the American Unitarian Association as a minister because of her passion and work to spread the word amongst a much broader population than Unitarian churches in New England typically had in the pews. So she went to work for the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Agency from 1944 to 46. She was assigned to them to go to Egypt and Palestine and help with repatriation or resettlement. But no one realized she had to sign what was then known as an N-470 form when she left the country. So when she returned, she was told by immigration she would have to start the 5-year waiting period again to become a citizen. A situation many refugees and immigrants today find themselves in, of not being able to finish, visit family, or do other work. And she had sought to wrap up her naturalization at that point because the agency wanted her to go back to Europe and do more work and thought it'd be best to have her citizenship in hand before traveling out of the country again. By now, the president of the American Unitarian Association was Frederick May Elliott. They're related. You know, they're all related in New England. It's so ingrown. Yeah. And Frederick May Elliott, being, you know, part of the New England elite, knew everybody. And he spoke to several congressmen and senators and so forth. And the outcome was a Congressman Dolliver of Iowa, of all places, and Senator Saltonstall of Massachusetts, who I know is a Unitarian, filed what was called a private bill to waive the waiting periods for her citizenship so that she could become a citizen immediately. And then she was able to go back to work for the UN and then later for the American Relief for Czechoslovakia organization from 47 to 49. By now, she had learned that her husband had been killed. I suspect she knew that after years of not hearing from him. But that the stepchildren were all safe, that were Europe, too, had stayed in the United States. And her son, after his military service, and after being turned down for admission by the Meadville Lombard Theological School, became a psychologist and had a very successful practice in the suburbs of Los Angeles. And she lived with or near him for the rest of her life. And when she died on December 2nd, 1966, the memorial service was held at the Rancho Palos Verdes Church, south of LA, on the Palos Verdes Peninsula. But through the rest of her life, she promoted the Flower Communion, she promoted Unitarianism, and she kept the light of her husband's memory alive as someone who worked for freedom and justice and liberalism in religion. Now, following the offertorium before the Flower Communion, Johanna Seel will read to you from a letter Maya Chopek wrote while explaining the purpose, to explain the purpose and meaning of the Flower Communion. But I just want to remind you of one sentence from that letter I read earlier to Samuel Eliot. "And when they go home, each is to take one flower just as it comes, without making any distinction where it came from and who it represents, to confess that we accept one another as brothers and sisters without regard to class, race, or other distinction, acknowledging everyone as our friend who is human and wants to be good." And so I ask you to consider, wherever you came from or how you got here, whether you're at one time a refugee in the broad common sense of the word or a refugee from another religion. When you go home, what will you take with you today besides a flower? What comes to you as a member of this wonderful congregation? What is yours as one of the people who call themselves Unitarian Universalists? You may take all these things home with you, but I hope that you will also take home with you a sense, a piece of the passion that Norbert and Maya Chopek had as evangelists for Unitarianism. The passion they had for justice, the passion they had for building communities that brought very different people together. I hope that when you go home, you will carry some of that passion with you and know it in your lives in the days and years ahead. And may it be so. Amen.